Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. And this morning, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl because, I mean, it's the Super Bowl and we're a business of sports podcasts. So what else would we be talking about on the Monday after the Super Bowl? And we're going to do a little bit of an Amazon-focused case study kind of to round out the episode as well because they've been a big Super Bowl advertiser over the last few years. So it's an interesting look at the business side, focusing on one of the biggest companies in the world. But before we do that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. So quickly, as anyone who watched probably knows, Super Bowl 53 between the Patriots and the Rams was one of the more boring games you'll ever see. It is the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history, but 13-3, maybe some people enjoyed it. I was finding myself looking forward to the commercial breaks more than the game. It was so boring at many points. But the Patriots and Tom Brady matched Pittsburgh Steelers as the NFL's only team to win 6 Super Bowl trophies. So that's, I guess, some historic stuff. But most of the country at this point, it's probably very sick of the Patriots and Tom Brady winning all of the time. So we'll quickly kind of get into the beginning of the game, pregame. As anyone who watched, one of the things that stands out right away is obviously that YouTube TV is trying to get everywhere they can in front of sports fans at all times. They sponsored CBS's pregame show, and this is the service that Google Parent Alphabet is running, that it's directly coming to cord cutters. It's live TV, YouTube TV, so you can watch whatever. It's roughly like 40 or 50 channels, and their big pitch to fans or consumers is they're trying to get sports fans to cut the cord, because at this point, as I've said so many times, the only real reason a lot of people are still paying for cable is to be able to watch things like the Super Bowl. So that's why YouTube is being so heavily involved in sports promotion recently, because they're just making the pitch, hey, you can get YouTube TV and you can still watch the Super Bowl. You can still watch the NBA Finals. You can still watch the World Series. And they've now sponsored all three of those biggest sporting events in the United States by far. So you'll see that going forward for sure. And it seems interesting to some people, maybe, like, why is CBS taking this sponsorship when it seems like it's a competitor that they're sponsoring? But this doesn't affect CBS in any way, because CBS would still be viewed on YouTube TV. So it's not a competing service necessarily, as, say, Amazon Prime versus Netflix or something like that. So YouTube TV is allowing people to watch whatever they would be normally watching on their regular cable subscription package. But yeah, so the game last night was on CBS. It rotates between Fox, NBC, and CBS as part of their 9-year, roughly $28 billion deal that's running through the 2022 season. So those will each get one more shot at it. In last night's game, you could also watch it on CBS.com, the CBS Sports app, some more places. And interestingly enough, none of these numbers are officially out yet, but a digital marketing agency called Ad Taxi projects that streaming viewership of the Super Bowl will be up 160%, and that's from a small number, but that's, once again, a growing portion of people watching everything they can in streaming. And they also estimate that 1 in 5 viewers will be tuning in via a streaming service. So that's a pretty interesting number. And as I said, we unfortunately don't have the actual total viewership numbers yet of the big game last night, because we're recording it this morning. But we do have the overnight ratings, which are a little more complicated than the total viewership number, so we won't really dive into that. But quickly, those are in, and as some of you might assumed, the ratings were not good because the game itself was just so boring, that the overnight ratings were the lowest for the Super Bowl in a decade, which is a bad thing for the NFL and all these companies that paid all this money. But there's really, that's kind of out of their hands. You couldn't have assumed that these two great teams would play such a boring game. And especially at a time when the ratings were up during the regular season, it's certainly not great for the NFL and all of these sponsors that the Patriots and the Rams decided to play such a boring game that people likely tuned out because it was just so bad to watch. Because as I mentioned, the ratings were up this year for the first time in a while, and it was a big deal that they're up 5% from 2017, even though they're still down from their peaks in 2015. But any ratings increase at a time when TV ratings are going down is certainly good, and it's good for the NFL. And as I mentioned, when these TV deals come up for all their current TV partners in 2021 and 2022, that it'll certainly interesting to see if Amazon Prime continues to do something and maybe more than just its partner. It's like Thursday night joint partnership with Fox. Maybe somehow Facebook gets in there. I know they tried to do live rights for the NFL before. So it'll be fun to watch those contracts negotiations play out. But now let's get into a little bit of the commercials and why there's so much money being poured into this game, because simple enough, the reach is just way too big to pass up. As I said, the audience is massive. Last year, it's always over 100 million people consistently, and almost half the audience, 47% according to Nielsen, is female. So you're really reaching a broad section of the population. That's why CBS was reportedly able to charge between $5.1 and $5.3 million for a 30-second ad spot. And this is all the way up from roughly $2.7 million in 2008. So over a decade, the numbers have almost doubled. For reference, the NFL charges for a regular season national televised game like $625,000 for a 30-second spot. So $5 million is a lot to pay, but not necessarily for these huge, huge companies who have massive, massive marketing budgets. But it's still a big production because they're paying $5 million, but they're also spending a lot of money on the ad itself, and you're only seeing 30 seconds of probably what they've done is way, way longer than that. But now what companies are doing today and what a lot of people notice is that they're rolling out the ads at least a week ahead of time, a couple days ahead of time, a lot of the companies, so it can live out there beforehand. All of the local news and even the national news stations will then play all these commercials. So it's free publicity for these companies. They're not paying for the ad slots. They're just rolling it out there. And then ABC News in the morning is showing your ad for free on TV. So that's great for them. And then all these ads also now live out on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook before the Super Bowl and then afterwards for forever at this point now. So these ads are still culturally relevant, and you're reaching too big of an audience to pass up when you're supposed to be a brand that is a top brand like Budweiser. All these companies, they have to be in the Super Bowl or people would kind of question what's going on. So last year, advertisers spent on in-game ads roughly $410 million. Which was down slightly from the year before. And this year, it's unclear. CBS hasn't said how much they have gotten, and they likely won't come out yet. So we'll see reports in the next maybe couple days or so. But I want to do a little bit of historical context of who the advertisers are that are spending the most money, because it seems pretty obvious, but not necessarily. So it's fun to look at the companies that are spending the most. So in terms of categories, over the last 20 years, the biggest spenders have been automotive companies. The second biggest category is alcoholic beverages, and those are pretty much by far the two biggest. And then in terms of specific companies, since 1995, Anheuser-Busch InBev has been the runaway biggest spender. They own brands like Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, Stella. You saw a lot of them last night if you watched the Super Bowl, and they've spent nearly $600 million since then on just Super Bowl ads alone since 1995. The next closest was Pepsi at around $370 million. Coke was after that. And then General Motors was after them. So those are the biggest spenders since 1995. Those are some big names. It makes sense that they would be up there. But as I mentioned, Anheuser-Busch InBev was a big, big spender last night. This is coming at a time when the world's largest brewer is facing kind of a crossroads, especially in the domestic market with their domestic beer, Bud Light and Budweiser. Their sales are going down due to lots of competition from everything from hard seltzer water or hard seltzer drinks and hard cider to imports from Mexico. So it's definitely an interesting time for Budweiser, but they are spending more than ever on the Super Bowl. And if you watched last night, like I said, you saw nearly 6 minutes of commercials that were Anheuser-Busch InBev spent worth roughly $50 million. We'll see if it pays off. I mean, you saw the ads. They have to do something. They had Stella ads. They had Bud Light ads. And then they had the interesting, my producer just threw this up because I was going to mention it as well, but they had that crazy cross promotion of Bud Light with their the campaign they've been now running for a couple years where it's medieval times looking stuff, and they had a cross promotion with Game of Thrones last night, which very interesting to see all of a sudden Bud Light and then it turns into a Game of Thrones ad. So you don't see that many crossover promotions for an HBO show with Bud Light. So that was one of the standout commercials last night. But yeah, as I said, Budweiser or Anheuser-Busch InBev, their company is not doing as well at the moment just because beer sales are in flux right now, but they're doubling down on the Super Bowl to cash in on what is still by far the biggest audience on TV, as I said. And then we're going to do a little bit of a case study, as I mentioned at the top, with Amazon, because at the moment, or a long time ago, Amazon and Jeff Bezos was kind of outspoken in the sense that he thought advertising was for companies that didn't have a good product to sell. But now that the e-commerce company is more than just an e-commerce company, they're selling specific brands. They're selling branded products like their Alexa devices. They're trying to sell their Amazon Prime service to compete against Netflix and soon enough Disney and Apple and AT&T. So they really have to get their name out there. And TV is really just, it has that cachet. It feels bigger. It's always going to feel bigger than some banner ad on whatever website you're on or on your mobile phone. So last night, if you watched Super Bowl, you saw two Amazon ads. They ran a 90-second spot that was geared towards their Alexa products and their Alexa devices. Harrison Ford was in it. Forrest Whitaker. They had two astronauts, Scott and Mark Kelly, and some other famous people just kind of poking fun at different devices that wouldn't really necessarily work well with their Alexa voice assistant. But as I said, they're now selling those devices. They have to get out there. They also had a 60-second spot for one of their streaming shows on Amazon Prime. And interestingly enough, Amazon has now pushed into TV ad campaigns in a big way. The Super Bowl is part of their larger national TV ad spending in the United States, which soared to up 60% this year to almost $700 million just on national TV ads alone in 2018, which is almost double from 2015. And this is according to Kantar Media. Amazon was one of the top 15 national TV ad spenders last year. They outspent companies like Toyota and McDonald's, which for casual people, this might seem strange for Amazon. But as I said, this is now something they're making a concerted effort for going forward of, we're really going to promote our brand on TV. And their Q4 results were released just last week, and they had a record amount of marketing spending, almost $14 billion on marketing in 2018, up 37% from the year ago. And then in terms of advertising and promotional costs, that was at $8.2 billion, which was up from $6.3 billion in the year ago. So national TV spending isn't a huge, huge chunk of this, but it's a decent amount, almost $700 million in 2018 compared to $8.2 billion in total advertising and promotional costs. And as I mentioned, Jeff Bezos has come out and said that we now see TV as something we need to advertise on. We're promoting our brands. We're not just an e-commerce company selling books online anymore. We have to get in front of this audience. And as I mentioned as well, just in terms of the bigger picture, Amazon was the fifth biggest ad spender in 2018 as a on a whole. This was behind number one, Procter & Gamble, number two, AT&T, number three, Berkshire Hathaway, and number four, Comcast. And this was ahead of GM, Pfizer, Verizon. So Amazon, once for the longest time, they shunned big TV ads, and now they're one of the biggest spenders in all of the U.S. And then, interestingly enough, two other internet tech companies that you don't necessarily think of as a big national TV ad spender that are also hugely... they basically just run digital ad businesses themselves. And this is Alphabet, who we mentioned at the top with their YouTube TV, and Facebook. They both spent a lot more money on TV advertising last year. Google increased its TV advertising by 45%, and Facebook spent way more than they had the year before. This is also according to Kantar estimates. So it comes at a time when they're kind of all in... trying to expand their businesses. It's also coming at a time when they are ruling digital advertising spending themselves. Facebook, Google, and Amazon are by far the biggest digital advertising companies in the United States. Google owned roughly 40% of the digital ad market last year. Facebook was at number two at around 20%. And then Amazon was a distant third at around 4%, but they are by far the biggest. So I just think it's interesting that they're spending at a time when all of these other companies are kind of not spending on national TV and spending on Facebook and Google and Amazon. It's just certainly an interesting thing to continue to watch, that these giant tech companies are deciding TV is a place we want to be now, when everyone else is changing course to go advertise specifically on their platforms. And then I quickly want to close with a little bit of just something that was not talked about last night in the game, and that is betting. CBS had come out before the Super Bowl and said they're not going to mention anything about betting at all during the games. And I watched the game until it was over, so they could have mentioned something during the aftermath of the game. As soon as the game ended, I stopped watching it, so I can't say 100% for sure they didn't mention anything to do with sports betting later on, but CBS came out and said they wouldn't. During the game, I didn't hear Jim Nance or Tony Romo say anything at all, which is interesting because according to the American Gaming Association, an estimated 23 million gamblers across the United States wagered as much as $6 billion on the game last night alone. So you have 23 million people, estimated $6 billion. That's a huge reason why a lot of these people are tuning into the game at all, and certainly a huge reason, especially at a game when it's not close, that a lot of people are still paying attention, because they have all of these different prop bets and things that aren't necessarily involved with the game itself at a certain point. But it'll be fun to watch this going forward, because this could be one of the last Super Bowls where they aren't mentioning these prop bets or what the over-under is or who is favored for the game, because the NFL, as I've talked about on this show a couple weeks ago, has officially signed a partnership with Caesars Entertainment, where Caesars became the official casino sponsor of the NFL. The NFL is now the fourth and last of the four major North American sports. So the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL all have a gaming casino partnership with MGM. So it was fun to watch last night them not talk about gambling as legalized gambling grows relatively quickly in this country. So last night could have, as I said, been one of the last big Super Bowls where CBS is just not mentioning gambling. Who knows, in 2 years, maybe there's a gambling company instead of YouTube TV sponsoring the pregame show. But I could talk about the Super Bowl and commercials and why Amazon's deciding to spend all of their money on TV ads now. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.